The Bible says that he's worthy, amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're excited about today. I have an amazing guest speaker for you today. He's been doing strength evangelism for a very long time. But without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that John Jacobs is the founder of the strength evangelist concept and the power team, now called the Next Generation Power Force. Ladies and gentlemen, he's held over 3,000 crusades in 40 different countries. They range from a bullfighting ring in Caracas, Venezuela, to amazing crowds in Moscow, Russia. Ladies and gentlemen, his team has held over 30,000 public school assemblies in the United States alone. How many of you think that's a big deal that he's been able to invade the devil's territory over 30,000 school assemblies in the United States alone? And ladies and gentlemen, he's frequented some of the most amazing, largest churches, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Lakewood Church. His team has been featured on CNN, People Magazine, Fox News, and almost every major network, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, in the past, John had a worldwide TV show that ran for over 15 years on TBN. How many of you think that's a big deal? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, 20 years ago, a guy by the name of Chuck Norris. How many of you know Chuck Norris? Ladies and gentlemen, he came to one of John's crusades where he accepted Christ into his heart. And the next night, over 11 of his family members came to Christ and accepted the Lord into their heart also, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? CNN was so pumped up. Walker, Texas Ranger did a whole episode featuring John and his teams and what they do into the schools, ladies and gentlemen. Since the beginning of his ministry, John has seen over 1 million people come to know the Lord. Come on, how many of you know that's a big deal for God? Amen? Come on. And last but most important, John has a passion for seeing the lost saved, the brokenhearted healed, and Christ getting all the credit. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, John Jacobs. Let's give it up for John Jacobs, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay up here, Jerome. Amen. And I want to say, all you that are watching, I want you right now, before I say anything else, to take your cell phone, and I want you to call some family, friends, tell them to tune in right now, because in a few minutes, I'm going to speak on how to turn your setback stories into comeback stories. Do you know, for every setback anyone had in the Bible, God tried to get them a comeback story. And I'm going to speak on today in a few minutes how to draw God's favor into your life. You know, men make their plans, but God determines the outcome. The doors God opens, no man can shut. If you move him to promote you, nothing can stop it. You know, this morning is going to be powerful. So I want to ask you to call your child, call your friend, call your family member right now. You have a couple minutes, because I'm going to talk about our ministry first, but then I'm going to impart to you the gift of faith, of how God puts his favor and how God promotes people and how God is going to turn every setback story into a comeback story in your life. But so call right now, get some people watching. And I want to just talk about Jerome and I for a minute. Come here, Jerome. Don't you stand by me. Jerome, tonight, I want to ask all of you to be sure to be watching, because we're going to be doing some feats of strength. Jerome, you know, I've had guys on my team snap baseball bats, but Jerome snaps them over his head. I've had guys on my team rip phone books. Now, I can rip the biggest phone book. Back when Houston had lots of phone books, I can rip two Houstons at once. Jerome is going to chew through a phone book, and then he's going to chew through a soft drink can. He's going to bend a giant steel bar over his head. He bends a giant horseshoe all the way around. He rolls up frying pans. We're going to snap a pair of police handcuffs. He's going to blow up a hot water bottle till it explodes with one hand, and that's going to be online here watching at 6 p.m. And I think the Spanish church is going to be here tonight. But I want to say, all you that are watching, be sure to tune in at 6 p.m. Houston time, because you're going to see some feats of strength. And Jerome is going to share a little bit how God saved his family, I'm going to speak a little bit on the power of God, and it's going to be a powerful time tonight online watching at 6 p.m. So I want to just say that also we're going to do something. I was just thinking, Jerome, we should do something to get everyone watching from all over Houston. What could we do that would be unusual, a little dangerous? And Jerome, look at the size of his hand. His hand is twice. He is so powerful, he can squeeze a soft drink can unopened till it explodes. And then this man is so powerful, who played for the Chicago Bears, can run across the stage, jump in the air, and crush an unopened soft drink can between his eyes flat. Now, he's knocked himself out. He's had some bloody foreheads. But tonight at 6 p.m., you want to call everybody you know, get everybody watching, because I finally thought up something to get everybody watching tonight. If you tune in and we have a record crowd watching, Jerome is going to run across the stage with all of his strength, 6'6", 350 pounds, swing with all of his power and crush an unopened soft drink can right between the eyes of Pastor David, the worship leader here at First Church of God. Now, it took me about 10 minutes to talk him into it. But he is in shape. He works out himself. And it'll be quite an impact. But we're going to have a fun time. So you still have about 2 or 3 minutes to call someone and tell them, hey, tune in. John Jacobs is going to be speaking on how to turn your setback stories into comeback stories. How to draw God's favor into your life. Hey, if God's favor makes a surprise visit to your house, nothing is ever the same again. So you still have time to call someone. But I want to talk a little bit about our ministry. We have 4 members of our team, and we do about 50 crusades a year in all over America. And then we, during the week, we go into the public schools. When we go into little schools, elementary schools, grade schools, we go into high schools, and we go into the public schools. And we press a 400-pound log over our head, maybe snap the handcuffs, blow up the hot water bottle. Then when we get their attention, under the anointing, under the touch of God, we talk about how you can overcome your scars. This world needs you. Be a dream maker, not a dream breaker. And when we share a message of encouragement, challenge, how to overcome, the power of pulling together, pulling each other up. Do you know it can impact a whole school? And then we invite them to bring their parents and come back to the church that night. And they come by the hundreds. And you know what? That's how we see whole cities impacted for God. And when we go into a church and do our crusades, we tend to draw the unchurched, and the kids from the schools bring their unchurched parents. And you know, people have hearts that only Jesus can change. Only the power of God can change someone's heart. And so that's how we're seeing. And it's a miracle. When ministers are not allowed to go in the schools, God has opened the door to almost every state in America for us to go into the public schools, do assemblies. And I've never seen a more important time than right now. There's a school in Missouri where 9 kids took their lives in 2 months before the corona. There are so many pressures and crisis. 1 out of 3 little girls sexually molested, 1 out of 5 boys. 5 million teenage alcoholics. There is, did you know a million young people reported missing last year? And human trafficking now is the number one increasing crime. All of hell is coming after America's kids because we're living in the last days. I was in a school the other day and the principal told me, half of our kids never get 1 word of encouragement at home. Can you imagine that? In a school I was at, we did a school in a high school, and 2 girls came up to me. And you know what the 2 teenage girls in the high school said? We had already made a suicide pact. We were going to kill ourselves tonight. And she said, because of what you said, we're not going to. And then she said something I'll never forget then. She said, and my mom showed me how to do it. You don't cut across, you cut down. My mom said she wanted me to be sure and finish the job. You know what? That night in the church, people came forward to receive the Lord Jesus. And I looked down. Guess who's standing there with their faces shining, glowing, and standing between them, the two girls and their mom. And that's what Jesus can do when we get to go to where they are. The problem is so many of our churches have so many church folks, we don't ever go to where the people are that need help. And so God has opened the doors. So at the end of this program, you'll have a chance to go with us into the schools, and I'll be sharing that with you. But I'm going to share this morning now as we get ready. And don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, it's going to be a little wild. Now, it's going to be pretty exciting. And I'm a little nervous for Pastor Dave. You may have seen him on these, you know, and it's not a trick. I mean, he has to stand there, brace himself. Jerome, he takes that unopened soft drink can, and when he crushes it over his skull, it explodes. And we've had some people that we've done this with. You can see it on YouTube where a man was completely knocked out, unconscious. And so will you please pray for Pastor David? And if you're, so tonight, 6 o'clock, and so be sure to be watching. But Jerome, thank you. Be ready for tonight. How's your arm? Is it okay? Is it good? Okay. I'm going to share with you this morning how to draw God's favor. Do you know people don't realize this, but God has feeling. God has emotions. And guess what? God gets motivated. And if you move him, he'll move the world for you. You ever heard prayers that move God? Well, I want to tell you that there's a life you can live to move him, that he puts his favor on your life and everything changes. God will make mistakes work for you. He will cause people to help you. What setback stories, God will give you a comeback story. But if God puts his hand of favor, and this morning I'm going to speak on how God can turn your setback stories into comeback stories. How to draw God's favor. You know, I don't care this morning if you're young or you're very old. I want to, if you're old and you're watching this, some people in this world must say, you're on your way out, but you know what God says? You're on your way in. That I saw in the Senior Olympics, a man run a 100-yard dash in the Senior Olympics in 19 seconds, and he was 100 years old. So I want to tell you, God's not done with you, if you're watching, and that God's favor is the same for the young and with the old. And I'm going to read you this morning a story from the Bible found in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. And this story takes place in a city called Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. Now, Simon is a man that was healed of leprosy. But you have to understand, his family were personal friends to Jesus. You know who his son is? His son was Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. Simon's two daughters are Martha and Mary. Remember the story of how Jesus cried even with Lazarus' death because he was friends? And they're having lunch, and guess who else is there? The disciples are there, including Judas. And there's some other people. So this is taking place at the house of Simon the leper in a city called Bethany. And you know what's in this story? You need to fasten your seatbelts. Listen to this. The greatest compliment Jesus ever paid a human being. And this morning, I'm going to share with you, and that's why I wanted you to call someone, and it's still a few minutes to call them right now, that I'm going to share with you the greatest compliment Jesus ever paid a human being. It's found in Mark chapter 14. Now, let me ask you, when you pay somebody a compliment, number one, how many know they have to move you? Amen? So, I'm talking in this story, somebody really had to move God in the flesh. Second of all, when you pay somebody a compliment, they've got to get your attention. How many of you want to get God's attention? You know what? If you get God's attention, that's all you need. Because if God promotes you, who can be against you? So in this story, Here's what it is. Somebody moves Jesus so much, he pays the greatest compliment he's ever paid. And he shows how to move his heart. And I want to share with you this story right now. We're going to read out of Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. It says, while he was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, verse 3, he was reclining at a table. Actually, they were having lunch, one translation says. And there came a woman with an alabaster vial or bottle of expensive perfume, oil of pure nard. At that time, it was expensive. A woman came up with a bottle of expensive perfume. And she broke the bottle or vial, and she poured it on his head. Now, here's the scene. A woman comes up. They're all at lunch. She breaks the bottle, and she pours this extremely expensive perfume on the head of Jesus. Now, it's not because she just wants his head to smell pretty. It's a symbol. And when you use a symbol, it means to send a message from your heart to God's heart. The perfume in the bottle, the big deal was not to make his head smell pretty. She was using it as a symbol to send a message from her heart to God's heart. And watch what happens. It says, but some there, sitting, having lunch, were indignant and remarking to one another, why did she waste that perfume? Can you imagine people sitting there that the Bible says they were indignant, which means resentful, upset, angry? They resented her and they said, why did she waste that perfume? And they criticized her, condemned her, and rebuked her, one translation says. It says that they, in verse 5, that this perfume, they said, could have been sold for 100 denarii. We could have sold that. It's worth more than a year's wages. And we could have given that money to the poor. And they scolded her. It says they scolded her. Now, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who the crowd is. It doesn't matter if they're church folks, or it doesn't matter if they're not church folks. If you step out and try to do something for God, if you do something out of the ordinary, if you try to go after your dreams, there'll always be people that will try to scold you, criticize you, and talk behind your back. But don't panic, don't respond, and don't even worry, because the Bible says God will hear it and bless you that much more. And look at the next verse. But Jesus says in verse 6, one translation says, when Jesus got the message, he stood up and he said to the group sitting there, leave her alone. Why do you bother her? She's done a great thing to me. Now I want to tell you, Jesus was moved when he got the message of what the perfume meant. Do you know what the bottle, you know what the symbol meant? She was pouring the bottle of perfume on his head. She was saying, this bottle of expensive perfume represents my life, my gifts, my talents, whatever I can do for God, whatever I can be, whatever I can do, I want to use what God's invested in me. This represents my life. And Jesus, I pour to you. And it moved him. He stood up and he shut the mouths of the criticizers. How many of you know God's big enough to shut the mouths of those who criticize you? Don't worry, because he'll use those same, Isaiah says, God will use the words of slander to promote you. We get so wrapped up, and I can't believe what this person said about me. Don't worry, because if you move him, he himself will defend you. He'll shut the mouths. Jesus said, leave her alone. What she's done is great to me. Now let's look at the next verse. Verse 7. And up is coming the greatest compliment Jesus ever paid a human being. I want you never to forget this. Verse 7, for you have the poor with you always, Jesus says, and whatever you wish, you may do them good, but you don't always have me. He's physically speaking. What Jesus is saying, you always have the poor, and you can help them whenever you want to. But I'm only going to be at this one place on this one day, because he was still limited to physically being at one place at one time. And you know what he was saying? This was her moment, and she didn't miss her moment to impact my heart. You know what, ladies and gentlemen watching this morning? This is your moment for God. People want to hang on till they get to heaven. They want to talk about heaven, sing about heaven, and want to just hang on till we get there. But we have all of eternity to sing, to shout in heaven. God has let us be on this earth for a short time, like a vapor. And this is our moment to do what we can to use our gifts and talents to make a difference for him. I have an announcement for you. You're here more than to take up space and breathe oxygen. God has picked you. God knew you before you were born. He's counted the hairs on your head. He's made no one else like you. No one else has your fingerprint, your retina print, your toe print. Nobody can impact the same lives you can. Nobody can make a difference in this world the way you can. And the question is do we seize this moment to say, Lord Jesus, I'll do whatever I can. I want to pour my life to you. I want you to use me for something great. Watch what happens next. Jesus says, she's done what she could. That's what's in the bottle, what she could do for God. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for the burial. And here it comes, verse 9. Are you ready to hear the greatest compliment? Have you ever heard this before? Here is coming in verse 9, the greatest compliment Jesus ever paid a human being. Let's read it right now. Truly I say to you, says Jesus, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, you know what the gospel means? My Jesus story. Jesus is saying, wherever they tell my story in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told of her in memory and as a memorial to her. Do you realize what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, wherever they tell my story, I'm going to tell her story. I'm going to tell her story in the whole world. Whenever they tell my story, I'm going to remember her story in memory and as a memorial to her. My friend, it doesn't get any bigger than that. That your life would so move his heart that he would tell your story for the rest of eternity. God wants to make you one of his stories. I said, God wants to make you one of his stories. And all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, here I am. My gifts, my talents, whatever I can do, whoever I can reach, from this day forward, I totally surrender to you. That's what it means to pour your bottle of perfume, is to do what you can. All of us have a different bottle of perfume. Every one of you that are watching have different gifts and talents, but you know what Jesus said? She did what she could. And you know what I've learned, ladies and gentlemen? If you do what you can with what you have where you are, God will increase what you have, and he won't leave you where you are. You know why I love this story? Because it's my story. This is my story. When I was 13, I received Jesus when I was 9. But when I turned 13, I wanted God to use me. Do you know that's one of the proofs you're saved? You should want God to use you to do something for God. And so I went out for the youth choir. Now, I knew I couldn't sing good because I failed at 7 instruments. And they told me in my grade school, you're tone deaf, John. We're sorry, and it's sad. But my buddy goes, if you can't sing good, like they sang this morning, they sang really good. They said, just shout the words, and if you forget the words, just go watermelon, and nobody will know the difference. So in the youth choir, I had a good time. I just shout the words, and if I forgot them, I couldn't ever remember them, and I just go, what? And after me singing two weeks, the youth pastor came to me and said, we would like for you to be involved in another ministry. I got weeded out of youth choir. Have you ever heard of that before? But you know, I found something in my church I could do. I started working with the mentally handicapped people. Our church was a big church, and we had a special service just for these adults that had the minds of children. And I used to ride the bus every Sunday for 3 years, and I would help them on the bus. I'd help them off. We had a special service in a chapel, and that's what I could do for God. I couldn't sing like you. I couldn't speak like you. But I could still had my bottle of perfume. And after 3 years of me working with the mentally handicapped in my church asked me to teach Sunday school. And they asked me at 16 to teach the junior high kids. And we had 50 junior high kids in my Sunday school class. And I got an idea. And I don't recommend this, I got to tell you, but I did this. I brought a little goldfish to Sunday school. And I said, kids, in 1 month, if we have 200 in this class, I'll swallow this goldfish live. I saw on TV or something. Now, junior high kids will do anything to see something gross. And I let them keep my little goldfish. And we passed out flyers. Man, I didn't dream they'd get 200 kids. You know what happened? That Sunday, 235 kids came to Sunday school. And when they brought the goldfish in for me to swallow it live, everybody was laughing. I thought, why are they laughing? They had taken my little 1-inch goldfish and they had traded it. They had like a 3-inch goldfish and they had those like buggle eyes on it. And I thought, Jesus, what am I going to do? My little goldfish was gone somewhere. But I thought, I promised these kids I got to do it. So I stuck that big goldfish in my mouth. I'd drink a glass of water, never drink water. I'm supposed to drink Coca-Cola. It got stuck in my throat. I finally swallowed it. But that morning, I gave a chance to accept the Lord Jesus. And we had like 25 kids come to Jesus. And five of them today are in the ministry, missionaries, pastors that I know of. Now, that may sound silly to you, but how many understand I was doing what I could with what I had where I was? And what matters to God is if you get up from where you are and do something for Him. God will bless your something and turn it into something great. God only needs a little bit to do a whole lot. God only needed me to be creative in little ways. Well, after that, I'm going to come and close in just a minute. So listen very closely in the next couple minutes. I used to pray God use me to reach my high school. Now I'm second in America in weightlifting. I'm this real big guy. And guess who comes to my church and to my high school? The world's strongest man, Paul Anderson. And he got under a table. He came to my high school, and he got under it, and he lifted 9 people on it. And he invited my whole school back that night to the church after he spoke to us. And half of my football team came to Jesus. And it was so exciting. Then my church had a karate guy. He broke a stack of bricks. He used a sword, cut a watermelon off a pastor's chest, blindfolded. Pastor Dave's getting off easy tonight, just being crushed over the head. But you know what? He came to my school and he broke a stack of bricks and he broke a stack of ice at my church that night. And the other half of my football team came to Jesus. Then I was watching a guy on TV shock an NBA halftime show, blow up a hot water bottle till it exploded. Mr. Universe, I thought I could do that. Then I saw a world strong man rip a phone book in half. I said I could do that. So guess what I did that summer, my junior year before my senior year? I took 2 of the football team that got saved, that came to Jesus, and I had 1 rip a phone book, 1 blow up a hot water bottle. I broke a stack of bricks, and we did 17 church crusades that summer using a tool to get people's attention and to get them to church. And that happened when I was 17. Then I went to Bible college after my senior year. And at Bible college, I broke a pair of handcuffs. A detective showed me how, and now I'm this real big, strong guy. I went to Oral Roberts University. And guess what? Whenever I would go to prisons and break the handcuffs, the whole prison would come, and we'd have hundreds of prisoners saved. I remember selling my spare tire in college for $25 to have gas money to go to one more prison. Then they put me on Christian TV on the 700 Club. Then worldwide Christian TV special said, can you come and break the handcuffs and preach? Well, I didn't know what would happen, but I guess that's never happened before on Christian TV at that point. And with the cameras rolling and being on TV in like 75 countries, I broke the handcuffs and I preached, and it caused such a commotion. You know what they said? We want to do a show with you every week, three times a week, to open countries around the world, as well as here in America. Boy, that caused a big commotion. We had 85,000 people a night in Moscow, Russia, because we were on TV there. In South Africa, we saw 280,000 people, 280,000 come to Jesus in 3 months. In Caracas, Venezuela, we had 60,000 in the bullfighting rink. And we've been in coliseums all over America. And today, in the past, have held records of attendance of many coliseums. But 20 years ago, we were in a crusade in a church in Dallas, Texas. And guess who walks in the back? Chuck Norris, the karate man, Walker, Texas Ranger. And he comes forward and he accepts the Lord. I still remember some of my team going, look who's down front accepting Jesus. It's Chuck Norris. The next night, many of his family got saved. And we became good friends. And you know what Chuck Norris told me? We want to do a whole episode of Walker, Texas Ranger called The Principle. And show how you do your feats and how you preach and how you talk to the kids in the schools. And on that show, we crushed things, we bent things, we lifted things. We had some of my team was the world's strongest men. And we saw the roughest school and how it was changed miraculously. And you know what? Chuck Norris told me that was one of the most responded to of all the Walker, Texas Rangers. And a couple of years ago, Chuck Norris told me on the phone, you know what he told me on the phone? He said, John, do you realize that we have ran reruns of you on that show hundreds and hundreds of times all over the world? I said, yeah, I know. Someone said they just saw it. He said, probably 1 billion people have heard and seen your story for God. And it hit me. You know what I am? I'm an example. If you do what you can with what you have where you are, God will increase what you have, and he won't leave you where you are. You know what I am? I'm just an example of what happens when you pour your bottle of perfume on the head of Jesus. You know what I am? I am living proof that God only needs a little bit to do a whole lot. And ladies and gentlemen, today we do crusades all over. We still go in the schools greater than ever. And I want to ask all you that are watching, I don't care what you've been through. It doesn't matter how many mistakes. God's bigger than any mistake you've ever made. I want to tell you that God doesn't measure like we do. All that matters to God is what you do from this day forward. And you don't have to carry that weight alone. And I want to say to all of you that are watching, the Bible says God's forgiveness and his mercy is fresh every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Bible says if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. My friend, I want to encourage you that God is not mad at you. God wants to use you for something great. And I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me right now, you that are watching. And I don't care how bad you've been hurt, God's for you, not against you. I don't care how bad you've messed up. God wants to turn your setback stories, and he wants to get you a comeback story, and I'm going to pray over you. But before I pray over you, I'm going to believe God's going to do a miracle in your life. But before I do, I just want to say this. Pray this with me, wherever you are. Just say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Not part of me, but all of me. Lord Jesus, I surrender all to you. Lord Jesus, not part of me, but here I am, my gifts, my talents. Forgive my sins. I receive salvation. I receive God's forgiveness. I receive eternal life. And from this day forward, I'm in God's hands. God is my source. I call on God's favor to come into my life. That God is going to open my doors. God is going to promote me. And here I am, Lord. Use me for something great. From this day forward, God is my defense. Jesus is my source. God's favor is upon my life. And in the name of Jesus, starting today, a new season of God's favor is on my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, I encourage you to call the church and or come back to church here at First Church of God in Houston. But before I turn it back over to Pastor Dave, I'm going to ask Jerome to come back up here. I'm going to ask the former Chicago Bear to come back up and to stand with me. And they're going to get him right now. But ladies and gentlemen, when we go into a school, first of all, that's a miracle. When we go into a school, did you know preachers are not allowed to go in schools? The first thing we do before anybody comes in, we pray over that school. God, fill this place with the Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon this place. And then when we get those kids' attention and we press a log over our head, we do some feats of strength, and then I had one principal just tell me in a school, half of our kids don't get one word of encouragement. Half of our kids don't get one word of encouragement at home. So you know something? When we speak to those kids, well, I just got a letter from a girl named Melissa. Melissa wrote me a letter. You know what she said in the letter? She said, the morning you came to my high school, I cut myself 84 times. And she says, I taped it up so nobody could see it. She said, the reason I cut myself was because my dad called me an idiot every day. But she said, you encouraged me and my two girlfriends, and we came back that night, and me and my two girlfriends accepted Jesus. She said, the next night, my dad accepted Jesus. She goes, I'm on the volleyball team now, and my number one fan is my dad. He never misses a game. He only encourages me, and he's never put me down once since Jesus. And she said, John, if you ever get tired of going to the schools, just remember the next school you go to will have someone just like me. So how many of you watching right now, Jerome, come up and stand by me. How many of you watching, has it bothered you what you've seen, what the devil's trying to do to America's kids? How many of you watching right now, have you concerned of what's been going on? Well, I want to ask you, if you're watching and you've been concerned, there's something you can do. Because we go into the schools. This fall, I'm expecting the biggest response that we've ever had this fall. And it's not easy. We have 5 members of our team and going to be going with us. And sometimes we're in 20, 25 schools in 1 week. And it costs us $1,000 per school. Just our airfare to go to all the schools in 1 month last year was $13,000. And did you know, for the first few years, 35 years ago, we charged the schools. But you know what broke my heart? The ones that need it the most couldn't afford it. So the Lord spoke to me, this is the greatest mission field in the world, America's public schools. So you know what we started doing? We started taking up an offering, asking the people in our services, every service we have, to give to the Lord and go with us to the schools. And you want to hear something powerful? In the last 30 years, we've not charged one school. Now we get to go, you see, listen to this. We go to the roughest schools in America. We go to the schools that no one ever goes to. Maybe the ones that never get anything, where it's so violent or left behind. And you know why? The Bible says one Christian can put 1,000 to flight. 2 can put 10,000. When we all pull together, we can pull whole cities back for God. And every single week during the summer, the churches we're in how they give in an offering, determine how many schools we can go to in the fall, if that makes sense. I'm sure you understand that. And today, we were supposed to have a big crusade here in the church, but we had to do this online. And this looks like it would be a setback, because every Sunday during the summer, we have to average at least 5 schools to be able to do the schools in the fall. But I believe some people are watching right now that this isn't a setback. It's a setup for God to use some of you that are watching. Because in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to go online and say, Lord, I'm going to go with them to the schools. And I'm going to ask you to plant a seed that you're going to believe God before the end of this year. He's going to give you a comeback story. That God is going to open some doors. And that you're going to let God use you. And they're online. There's going to be up on the screen, they're going to show you how to give online. Many of you give online on a regular basis. But this morning, I'm going to ask some of you, did you know that every single week during the summer, we have some people that give a whole school from their family, from in the name of their future? Last week, we had a 15-year-old boy. He brought and gave $1,000 and helped us do a whole school. In the past, last year, we had 2 homeless people sponsor us. I had a lady in the front row that had a little baby, and she came up and she put $100 bills in an envelope. And she goes, I want to sponsor a school in the name of my baby because the father will never support it. And she goes, by the way, we're homeless. I prayed over them. 2 weeks later, they called our office and said somebody had given them a house worth $140,000. How many of you believe if you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business? In all my life, I've never heard of one person who got hurt from giving to God. So this morning, would you be a part of this miracle? It would make me the happiest man in Texas if this church told me we had 5 schools, $5,000 come in to the website. And I believe you could be a part of that miracle and be a part of one of my stories. Because what looked like a setback, God is going to turn it into a comeback. And right now, in a moment, I want you to listen to this or look on the screen to look, go online to hfcog.org/give. That's hfcog.org/give. And then I want you to mark which says the Next Generation Power Force. And if you go to hfcog.org/give, the church will have they have a special account there. Just mark Next Generation Power Force. And I want to ask you to surprise me and shock me. I want you to be a part of this. And I believe that God is going to use you, precious people that are watching. I believe God is going to use you, precious people that are watching. And I believe that we're going to see a miracle today and see those 5 schools come in. And I want to just pray a miracle. And I'm going to ask Jerome to join me for you that are going to give. We have some people here in the crowd. I'm going to ask them to give. And they can take out their checkbook. And if you want to give, however you give online, just mark Next Generation Power Force. Because this is the only way we have to get to the schools. Don't you think it's a good thing we don't charge the schools? Don't you think it's a good thing that we get to go to where no preachers can go and that we have these great crusades that can change whole cities? Well, thank you for giving. Thank you for caring. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be doing the Feats of Strength. We're going to crush the can over Pastor David's head. Let me pray right now. I want you to pray with me that are watching. Just say, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. What would you have me give? Just right now, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. What would you have me give? And I believe the Holy Spirit right now is giving you a figure. And I believe the seed that you put in Jesus' hand is going to affect the lives of tens of thousands of kids. And God is going to multiply that back to you. And I pray that God's favor will come into your home. I pray God's power will come into your life. I pray that every cell in your body get in line with the Word of God. I pray that every lost loved one, God is going to draw them and save them. And I pray before the end of this year, in the name of Jesus, for every setback story, God's going to give you a comeback story. Well, God bless you, friend. We'll be on again tonight, 6 o'clock. Thank you for your giving to help us in the mission of the public schools. We appreciate you, and we'll see you back tonight, 6 o'clock. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God is good. God is able to do anything. And so as we heard, God can use us how we are. We don't have to wait for anything. God can use us right now.